This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. All praise, no doubt, is due to Allah, the Exalted. We praise Him. We seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our sins and the evils within ourselves. Whomsoever Allah guides because they sincerely and truly seek guidance, none can misguide. And whomever He rightfully causes to be led astray, because they do not truly seek guidance, none can guide. And I bear witness that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, is his servant and final messenger. Allah the Exalted reminds us so that we may be people of benefit, people of implementation. O you who believe, O believers, be conscious of Allah as He deserves, and die not except in a state of worship, a state of submission. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be consistent upon worshipping Him and allow us to die upon a state of worship. Allahumma ameen. O you who believe, be conscious of Allah. And let every soul reflect on what you have prepared for your afterlife, for your departure, for your eternal life. And be conscious of Allah. Verily, Allah is aware of all that you do. A brother once mentioned a conversation to me about someone who had doubts, a Muslim who started to have severe doubts in his workplace due to some pressures from colleagues and questions he was receiving and the things that he was consuming. And he said, is Islam really not violent? Can you prove to me that Islam is not violent? And before we jump into a response to a question, we must always assess the question as well. What do you mean when you say prove? How do you measure violence? What is your measurement, your reference point when you ask, is something violent? Is something good? Is something bad? So what constitutes proof for you in this case? What is your framework to make such a claim that something is or is not violent? He said violence, you know, as in killing people. And framework, I don't know what you mean by that. A framework for you to make a claim. A foundation for you to say that such and such is true or false. And this brings us to the crux of our khutbah today, which is about the power of intellect and reason in Islam. The role of intellect and reason in Islam. As Muslims, oftentimes, and of course this affects many people in society, we are not formally taught how to reason, how to think critically. And this should be a subject of study. How to think logically, what is sound reasoning, what is the role of the fitrah in all of this, the natural disposition that Allah created us upon, that we know God, we know reality as it is, and it is self-evident. But as well, in addition to the fitrah, how to use our reasoning properly and how to understand it from the Islamic perspective. That when someone makes a claim, whether it's in politics, in some discourse, or whether it's in some debate, or somebody asks you a question, or you read something online, how do we know in terms of assessing evidences that something is true or false? How do we analyze claims? How do we warrant our claims? How do we protect ourselves and our children and our communities and this ummah from being intellectually disarmed, offline and online? And this brings us to the question of the role of intellect and reasoning in Islam. That some people mistakenly assume that reason has no place in Islam. But the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions reason in a positive light, it is one of many faculties. It is one of many ways of getting to know truth, truth with a capital T in this postmodern world, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, number one of five, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Do they not reflect within themselves? Do they not use their reasoning? Meaning what? Something will be a byproduct of your reflection. مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create the seven heavens and the earth and everything in between without a purpose. And when we study science, we see that everything does have an end purpose. The teleological interpretation of the world around us, that there's a function, a purpose in all that we see and all that we observe and all that we reflect on. For someone to think about the heavens and the earth and then not use their reasoning properly will lead them to the wrong conclusion. And this is why at the end of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَافِرُونَ. However, the majority of people, a good number of people, and especially during this age of skepticism and age of secularism, will reject the reality that they will meet their Creator, that they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To think properly, to reason properly, establishes the reality that there is one Lord. Establishes the reality that we will die, that there is a purpose in this world and it is not to live forever. And that when we depart, we will return back to the one who created death and life. We will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to rationally prove that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger of God and is a messenger of God. And the more a person studies the seed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more obvious it becomes, and the more difficult it becomes to deny the reality. What is so obvious and clear to anyone with a sound heart, and anyone who reads and studies objectively, that this person, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, As-Sadiq al-Amin, nicknamed by his people, people that he lived with for 40 years before prophethood came to him, that he was the trustworthy, he was the truthful, and he received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he could not come up with on his own. So to rationally prove to the people of Quraysh and to the people until the end of times that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them, those amongst them who tried to run away and evade the truth that was so obvious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again begins with, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِصَاحِبِهِمْ مِنْ جِنَّةِ. Their friend, their companion that they are referring to, these people running from the truth, their friend that they are referring to is not insane. In fact, he is the most sane amongst them. In fact, he's preaching words from God that they themselves consider the most eloquent of people in poetry and balagha and rhetoric. They themselves cannot imitate information from beyond, information from behind the scenes, information that the Prophet ﷺ could not have. A person who was known for his trustworthy, his honesty, do they not use their reasoning? Do they not see what is so clear to them? إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. He is simply a warner. He is simply going to warn. He will not hold them accountable. And he will not force them to believe. It requires a sound heart and correct thinking, correct reasoning. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds those who rejected the reality of the Qur'an from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of the conveying of the Qur'an. Those who rejected it and those who ignored what was obvious and they tried to look for any excuse to avoid submitting to God because they had their personal agendas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them, قُلْ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا تَلَوْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَدْرَاكُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا مِّن قَبْلِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to tell them, if Allah had so willed, I would not have recited this speech to you. The speech of God to you. I would not have delivered it to you. I would not be a messenger if God did not will it. I lived amongst you for a lifetime before prophethood came to me. أَفَلَا تَعْقِدُونَ. Do you not think? Do you not use your common sense? Do you not reason correctly? Do you not see what is so evident? 40 years living amongst his people and then prophethood came to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, reasoning is used and can be used to ponder over the creation and to marvel at Allah's power. And this is something we should do regularly. That when we see the world around us, and especially when you think about the skies, the oceans, the universe, the stars, the galaxies, to reflect on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reference point of all reference points, the source of all that is good, the one who created us, the one who owns us, and we will return to him inevitably. And the reminder here is one that we should reflect on often. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The believers are those who reflect on the creation of the heavens. They reflect on all that Allah has created. And they reflect while standing, sitting, and lying on their sides, meaning all positions in everyday life. And the reflection is what? Our Lord, you did not create all of this without purpose. This is not aimless. This is not pointless. You are above such a thing. You are too perfect for that. Subhanak. So protect us because of this reflection and our submission. Protect us from the punishment of the fire. Number four, to ponder over the Qur'an and see clearly how this is the truth from God. And this requires us, and point number two about the Prophet ﷺ, to understand the foundations of Islam, the framework of our discussion, the framework of why you know Islam to be the truth, the proofs of prophethood, so knowing why Muhammad ﷺ and how clearly he is the messenger of God, dala'ilun nubuwa, and number two, i'jazul Qur'an, the miraculous nature of the Qur'an. These two are the foundation of proving rationally in discourse and different dialogues and conversations that Islam is the clear truth from God and that it is rationally justified. In fact, it is the only rational option when you consider and you study what is out there, when you consider the competing isms and ideologies. It is backed up by evidence. It is very crystal clear to those who are sincere and those who study the matter properly. And on this note, I recommend for those who look for these types of resources, I recommend reading the series called The Proofs of Prophethood on Yaqeen Institute's website. 7 articles. Every Muslim should study this at least once. Our children should have learned this by now. And if not, we should be teaching them this, living in this confusing time and confusing age, in this skeptical world in which everything, every ideology of doubt is exported and globalized through the internet and through media and through different types of entertainment venues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And number two, i'jaz al-Qur'an, the miraculous nature of the Qur'an, also on Yaqeen Institute's website. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds and asks rhetorically, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not reflect upon the Qur'an? Do they not study the Qur'an? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. And if they were to recognize the truth, they would see that if the Qur'an was from other than God, then it would have a lot of logical inconsistencies, a lot of problems within it. And the one who properly studies it sees that this is not the case. And number five, and the last point here, to reason and to think, to realize the significance of the discussion in terms of the consequence of belief and disbelief. What do we mean by this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of Surah Fussilat, after many proofs about the Qur'an and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ كَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ مَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ هُوَ فِي شِقَاقٍ بَعِيدٍ. Say indeed. So ask them to reflect on the following point. If this Qur'an that you reject, O people of Quraysh, if this Qur'an that you reject is in reality from God, what is going to happen to you? Who is more misguided than you? Meaning what? Have you considered the weight of your decision? When you talk about the weight and the consequence of an action, we are not here referring to minor decisions. Every single day we make hundreds, if not thousands of decisions, sometimes consciously, sometimes subconsciously. You make a decision about, for example, what you want to study, what you want to read, who you want to marry. You make a decision about where you want to live, the job that you're taking. We make decisions that are major and minor all the time. And some of these decisions, as we all know, have ripple effects. This is why we need the guidance of Allah in every decision. They have ripple effects. You make the wrong decision every single day, it will add up. And you make the right decision every single day, it will add up. But the more important question is, what is the weight of that one decision? When you talk about belief and disbelief, you're talking about Jannah and Jahannam. And this is a reality. You're talking about paradise and hellfire. So that the weight of the decision that you make in this life, this temporary world that you have, in which the end of your life, in terms of your departure, is not known to you, that decision will have the weightiest impact. You're talking here about infinite amount of gain and infinite blissfulness of Jannah or infinite punishment. May Allah protect us and our loved ones. Allahumma ameen. So it's not a minor decision. It's not the type of research that someone could say, you know what, I have a lot of time, I'll research religion later. I'll think about this doubt later. And then I will come back to the truth and then I'll come back to God. We don't know if there is a later. And the reality is this is the one decision you don't want to mess up with. This is the one decision you don't want to be wrong about. And this is a reminder we share with our loved ones when they go through doubts. We share with our community when they go through doubts. We share with non-Muslims when they ask about religion and ask about Islam. This is the weightiest of things. So the one who uses their reasoning, their intellect correctly, sees that the weight of this cannot be postponed. The weight of this makes it so important and so urgent. I need to recognize and research and pursue the truth today. And there are many other ways reasoning can be used. But one of the questions that arises amongst Muslims who are oftentimes engaged in many conversations or studies dealing with doubts, a secular type of approach to the sciences, a secular type of approach to all the world around us. So they ask, isn't it possible that reason, correct reasoning, will conflict with the Quran, with the explicit revelation? Is that possible? And the question is very obvious here in terms of what it's trying to get at. The answer is no. Correct reasoning will never conflict with explicit revelation. If you're reasoning correctly, it will lead to the right conclusion. It will lead to the right consequence, the consequence here of success. And if you find yourself looking at or hearing about or reading about some kind of conflict in reasoning and explicit revelation, then it's either a misinterpretation of the Quran, or it is a misunderstanding, or it is miscommunicated. And these are very common in terms of the fallacies, the errors that people deal with today. Number two, rationalism and reasoning today, since the 17th century onwards, rationalism does not have one particular definition or one uniform, one consistent methodology. In fact, some types of reasoning were proven to be faulty. Oftentimes they are subjective. So it is not one foundational thing that is infallible, true, in all the sense of the word true. Whereas the explicit revelation we take to be true at the highest level of truth. So we understand here what? That if there seems to be a conflict in one person's relative reasoning, one person's philosophy, one person's claims in society, one movement that suddenly is accepted by people and it contradicts the explicit revelation, the problem is with the movement, the problem is with the understanding, the problem is with the attempt to reach some kind of conclusion, but not with the explicit revelation. And number three, for those who have not heard this before, it's important we mention it many times. There is nothing irrational in Islam. There is no belief in Islam that is irrational. There are beliefs that are supra-rational. What does this mean? You can believe in Islam that because it is very clear, based on your reasoning and your fitrah, that the Prophet ﷺ is a messenger of God, that the Quran is the speech of God, and therefore everything with that I take and I submit fully, without questioning. That is rationally justified. Therefore, we believe in the jinn, we believe in angels, we believe in life after death, and there are ways to reason that as well. But they are not irrational, inconceivable, mustahil. No, they are. They are not just basically wajib, conceivable. They are things that are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about, that we depend on because of the methodology of reaching this conclusion. The way you reach the conclusion of belief leads you to accept all of it. We receive questions from many Muslims, young and old, starting with, can you prove? Prove to me, prove to me, prove to me. Once again, what do you mean when you say proof? What are you really asking for? Do you know what proof looks like? What proof will suffice for you? One atheist philosopher who was an atheist for more than 50 years of his life and became a believer in his 80s right before he died, and this shook the atheist community. He became a deist, not a theist. But when he became a believer in God, because all the evidence, he said, led him back to God, the evidence within the study of science, such as the DNA, the theological interpretation of the universe, and so on and so forth. He said this led him back to God, but the problem was what? Dogmatic atheists rose up and started insulting him, attacking him, critiquing him, telling him there's no proof of what you're saying. The man that they followed for 50 years, the one who contributed to atheist philosophy for more than 50 years, became a believer at the end of his life. And then he asks, in a long parable, he asks, what proof will suffice for you to finally admit that there is a God? What proof works for you? And this question here is important to always consider as Muslims as well. What's enough for you to finally take action and move forward with this advice, this reminder from God? Because some atheists have explicitly said that if God were to reveal himself to them, they would still disbelieve because they do not believe that what they're seeing is reality. They would believe that they are hallucinating. This is the reality of misguidance. May Allah protect us and our loved ones. When people ask for proof, assess what they're really asking for, their methodology. How do you know what is true, what is false? What justifies your belief system? How reliable is your methodology? Because there is no system in the world, there is no approach in the world that is more rationally justified than Islam. And the one who studies theology properly and philosophy of religion properly in certain areas, not all areas, and most importantly understands the way of thinking, the way of reaching a conclusion, sees that there's no doubt whatsoever that Islam is the truth. We had a young man brought to us, to myself and to a colleague, because he said he had doubts about Islam for 3 years approximately, and he left Islam. Someone from a Muslim community in America. Someone who had, in his childhood, been taught how to pray, to memorize the Quran, to do A, B, and C, to do such and such, but never studied properly how to think, meaning how to reach certain conclusions, how to assess and analyze a claim when it comes to you. We had one conversation with him for about 3 or 4 hours, and part of the conversation was the intellectual evidences, and the other parts, the colleague was doing this, was the fitri approach, the spiritual awakening. Are you really comfortable dying upon your situation right now? These types of questions. And the approach here, this combination of the two, the, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah refers to as aqliya fitriya, the evidences that are most valid are those that are both rational, so the reasoning is correct, and they are intuitive. Your fitra is awakened by them. A pure fitra will accept it. These are the most valid evidences. He left at the end of the conversation because initially he was speechless. He couldn't respond. He got quiet. He realized how wrong his conclusions were for the last few years. And then we were informed by his family that when he went back home, the next day he woke up, he took a shower, and he left for Fajr prayer to the masjid for the first time in 3 years. And that was because he was open. He was sincere. He came asking for the evidences. He was looking for guidance. And Allah promises, this is a promise, that the one who seeks guidance will have guidance. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Those who strive in our path, we will guide them to our way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us sincere in our claims and to guide us and to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and our loved ones. Allahumma ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who benefits from what we hear. Seek forgiveness from Allah. He is the oft forgiving, the ever merciful. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in a verse that we should be reciting every night, in a surah we should be reciting every night, about a group of people thrown into the hellfire who confess for their sins. And one of their confessions is one that should cause us to reflect on the reality of reasoning. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ The people of hellfire, this party, this group, they say what? If we used to listen sincerely, if we used to really listen when the advice came to us, when the reminder came to us, أَوْ نَعْقِلُ Or we used to use our reasoning correctly. The faculty of reasoning, if it is correct, if it is used properly, will lead to Jannah. The use of reasoning correctly with our fitra, our sincerity, our natural disposition will lead to paradise. And the wrong use of reasoning, this faculty Allah gave us with its limitations and its capacities, will lead to a bad conclusion, will lead to punishment and consequences. And this is not something that should cause us to become so intimidated or confused or paralyzed in our rhetoric or our discourse with others about the reality of life and the reality of the afterlife. Again, we're living in a time in which, since the 17th century onwards, secularism has become dominant for many people. Secularism, where religion and God are taken out of public conversations, the public sphere, public spaces, out of academia as well. And so people, Muslims as well, amongst other religious groups, start to think more in a secular sense. The secular replaces the focus of the afterlife with the focus on this life, with hawa, with desire, that I think what's right and I will pursue what I think. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about that type of ideology. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Do you not see the one who takes his desires, his own thoughts, his individualism, his own ideology as a god, as a deity, as a way of life? This leads to a bad result. It's not the correct way of thinking. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and increase us in goodness. Allahumma ameen. Brothers and sisters, the objective here is to revive the importance of teaching our children about frameworks, not secondary matters, not arguing with people about why such and such is good or bad. No, the framework itself proves itself. It is self-evident that Islam is the truth, that God is the reality. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ. This is the reality. To teach our children how to think critically and not to take everything they read online or everything they hear from other places as truth, even if it seems convincing, even if it seems rational. It is pseudo-rational. And we have to protect ourselves as well. And I remind all of my brothers and sisters, with what you read, what you consume, don't play with fire. Don't play with that thing that will harm you in terms of the environment, in person or online, that you do not have a foundation to be protected from. A foundation of thinking critically, a foundation of ilmul yaqeen, the knowledge of truth, seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah to protect yourself. Again, read about, and this is my recommendation, Dala'il al-Nubuwwah, the proofs of prophethood, and I'jaz al-Qur'an, the miraculous nature of the Qur'an as a framework. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our youth and our adults. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and guide others through us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us amongst those who are sincere for guidance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live upon and die upon La ilaha illallah. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ighfir li walidina wa li walidi walidina. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب والأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين اللهم انصر عبادك الصالحين في كل مكان اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم فرج الكرب عن المسلمين في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقم الصلاة